Yet we also desire to be a people of great faith. Help.
Matthew 4:1-11. Next, Jesus was taken into the wild by the Spirit for the test. The devil was ready to give it. Jesus prepared for the test by fasting 40 days and 40 nights. That left him, of course, in a state of extreme hunger, which the devil took advantage of in the first test. Since you are God's son, speak the word that will turn these stones into loaves of bread. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, "It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth." For the second test, the devil took him to the holy city. The devil sat him on top of the temple and said, "Since you are God's son, jump." The devil goaded him by quoting Psalm 91. "God has placed you in the care of angels. They will catch you so that you won't stub as much as stub your toe on a stone." Jesus countered with another citation of Deuteronomy, "Don't you dare test the Lord your God." For the third test, the devil took him to speak on a huge mountain. The devil gestured expansively, pointing out all the earth's kingdoms, how glorious they all were. Then the devil said, "They're yours, lock, stock, and barrel. Just go down on your knees and worship me, and they're yours." Jesus' refusal was curt. "Beat it, Satan." He backed his rebuke with the third quotation from Deuteronomy. "Worship the Lord your God, and only God. Serve God with absolute heartedness." The test was over. The devil left, and in the devil's place, angels. Angels came and took care of Jesus' needs.
May God bless that reading, as well as your hearing, for indeed it is God's holy word. So Jesus, fresh from the baptismal waters, gloriously commended by Almighty God, God's Spirit drove Jesus to a lonely, desolate place. Now, between the populated part of Judea and the Dead Sea, there actually is a stretch of land about 35 miles long and 15 miles wide. It's called Jeshimnon, which means the devastation. The hills are like dust heaps, the limestone is blistered and peeling, and the rocks are bare and jagged. The land literally glows with heat, and sounds echo with an eerie, hollow sound. God sent Jesus there, away from all people and regular semblance of ordinary life. God sent Jesus there to focus on how to win people to God and how to proceed with his ministry and consider which avenues to choose and then use. Now, he had already had exceptional power. The question was how to use it. And there were a lot of ways that he could use to influence people's thinking about being part of God's kingdom on earth. Which ones should he choose? And at some point, he began to experience normal human hunger. Anyone here tried to diet? We all know what it's like to be hungry, how easy it is to be cranky and irritable and basically not really care much about anything with those grumblings in our stomach. Well, Jesus was lonely and tired and hungry and vulnerable. How often are we tempted when we are vulnerable, when we're trying to weigh decisions or we're facing uncertainty? And a lot of limestone in the desert did look like small loaves of bread. And as Jesus was simply noticing that likeness, the enemy approached, "Hey, Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, just tell these stones to be what they look like they are. Say the word. You can eat." Now, Jesus was actually being offered more than a way to feed his physical hunger. He'd been already been considering all the aspects of human hungers, you know, the hunger for acceptance and love and touch, companionship, affirmation, fulfillment, comfort, success, the list could go on and on. Physical hunger is as a basic human need, is followed by then a long list of others. During this time, the Roman government gave away bread to poor people to gain their favor, and Jesus knew that tactic worked. He could persuade people to follow him by using his power to fill their physical and emotional hungers, and then sort of bribe them to follow him. Yet persuading people to follow him for what they could get out of him would have been a mistake. See, he wanted to call people to a life of giving rather than a life of getting. Giving people bread may be able to remove symptoms of hunger, yet never heal the disease. The only way to cure hunger is to fill people's souls with God. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Humans don't live on bread alone. Life comes from the mouth and the word of God. We're catching a glimpse of the Exodus story here. When God led Israel through 40 years in this wilderness, God often tried to humble them so they would be more obedient. You know, I'll always remember a conversation I had with a wife who had watched her spouse survive one tragedy after another. She believed that each one of those tragedies was an opportunity to move him just closer to God, but he kept resisting. Until finally, whatever it was that happened, he gave in and then became quite a leader in their congregation. See, when we're tempted, our struggle may be about following God's call as opposed to our human resistance to do so. The question is, where can we find the strength to accept God's call, overcome the temptation to do whatever we want to do instead? Now, Jesus may have been tempted by human hunger, yet he quickly applied God's word to that situation. You know, temptations don't come to us because we're sinful, bad people. They come to strengthen our resolve to do things God's way, to strengthen our desire for goodness in the world, our desire to bless others. So rather than remind us of our weaknesses, those temptations can make us stronger. Basically, temptations come to those that God wants to use. So when we are tempted by human hungers, by emptiness and need, what would be different if we focused on God's call and purpose for our lives? As individuals, yes, but also as a congregation. What would happen if we decided we were going to depend on God's word for direction of our words, our thoughts, our feelings, our actions? See, I believe one task of God's church is to find the best way to appeal to people's inner longings to connect with God and others. So what if we could find ways to help others resist temptation and then fill their spiritual hungers by offering them the bread of life? How can we help people connect with God? How did you first connect with God? When did you decide to believe and accept God's love for you? How do we reconnect with God when we feel far away? One of the tasks of the Bridge team will soon be doing is to create a new mission, vision, value statements. And the IKC coaches have been trained to help Bridge team compose those congregational mission or purpose statements in 12 to 15 words or less. It's a way to respond to God's call on the congregation's life together. And it is exciting work. And certainly one of the best times for a congregation to rediscover God's plan and purpose for it is during a time of transition. You know, Trinity is not the same congregation it was when Pastor Jane was your pastor. Many things have changed, and they are changing. So now is one of the best times for Trinity to take the time that's needed to discern who God is calling Trinity to be now. Who are our neighbors? What services can we provide? So how can we provide folks who are searching with a place to feel accepted and valued, loved and needed by focusing on God's love? How can we refocus our energies on the needs of others rather than simply only ourselves? How can we teach others the power of God's word and how to use it to resist temptation? Well, next, the enemy took Jesus to the holy city, to the top of the temple, the most sacred place Jesus could ever be. The place where he could see all of Jerusalem and miles beyond it. And the enemy said again, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Because Scripture says that God won't allow anything bad to happen to you. God will protect you from danger and send angels to your aid if anything disastrous does happen." And we both know this is true, Jesus. People will be so impressed by your daring feat, they'll just flock to see and to hear you. You'll be famous. It'd be a sensational way to kick off your campaign as God's Son, Savior of the world. Yeah, the enemy did what a lot of well-intentioned folks still do today, to argue a point. Take a verse out of context. How often are we tempted to do something outlandish, believing that God will protect us from any harm, make us famous, because or give us wealth and power so that others will be impressed? How can we recognize when and if Scripture has been taken out of context? What if we were so familiar with God's word, having stored it away in our minds and hearts, that we could then immediately recognize truth and know when it is or has been misinterpreted? Yes, Jesus could have done something spectacular, like throwing himself off the top of the temple to attract people's attention. And then after achieving some fame, he could have started his ministry. Yet sensationalism was not the best use of God's power, because it was only going to last a short while. Jesus' chosen way of winning people to God had to last for eternity, not a few days, weeks, months, or even years. Again, he quoted memorized scripture to resist temptation. Jesus not only knew scripture, he also believed it and so obeyed it. Memorizing scripture is an important step in helping us resist temptation, yet we also need to obey it. The enemy also has memorized scripture, yet of course we'll never obey it. So knowing and obeying scripture can help us follow God's desires rather than our own desires. And Jesus responded, "Don't put the Lord your God to the test. Don't devise senseless experiments to use God's power or try to see how far you can push God by deliberately putting yourself in a threatening situation. Don't be reckless. Expect God to rescue you. Try to force God's hand to use God's power or back God into a corner. Don't demand miracles as evidence of God's love and care. Instead, focus on God's plan. Faith, not fame, is the best way to go." And finally, the enemy took Jesus to a very high mountain where he could see the entire world, the entire civilized known world, and made an offer. You see all this? I have authority over all these kingdoms, and I can appoint whoever I want as my representative over them. If you will worship me, you can have power over all these people right now. Don't set your standards so high, Jesus. Compromise with me. You can have power right now over the entire world. Now, was the enemy speaking truth? What do you think? You know, sometimes we wrestle with temptation because we want to believe the lies that people speak. I mean, has anyone here ever been lied to? We believe, we want to believe what is being said or told to us is truth, yet even at some level we may recognize it's really not. So we're tempted to compromise, to be in the middle. And then when we open the door just a little, that can lead to tragedy. I wonder how often the church has been tempted to try to win people to God by doing something outlandish or, you know, simply the way the world does things. And Jesus' answer quickly adjusts our perspective. Scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve God only. See, those words were actually part of God's covenant with Israel. God was never going to allow them to compromise. Israel could only worship the one true God and serve only the one true God, no more and no less. Who are we going to serve? Our own desires and our ideas, or God's desires and ideas? It's true, Jesus could have taken over the world as its ruler right then and there if he'd been willing to compromise God's mission and purpose for his life. He could have, you know, taken a shortcut that involved no pain, and then bypassed all that suffering and even death on a cross. He could have had the world without having to suffer and die for it. Rather than acquire earthly power, he chose God's plan for his life. So how can we, as God's church, do the same? How can Trinity United Church of Christ focus on who God is calling us to be and become, and ignore all the other options? Well, hearing Jesus' final response, the enemy left Jesus until a more opportune time, because Jesus had firmly chosen his course and knew that he was always going to choose God's will and way over the world's. The relevant questions are, who are we going to listen to and discern who God is calling us to be and who God is calling us to serve now? How are we going to live into God's preferred future for us as a congregation? See, Jesus focuses attention on bringing people to an awareness or an acceptance, a knowledge of God's love, God's forgiveness, God's power to transform their lives. And that's still the mission of the church today. He overcame the enemy's temptations. He rejected worldly power, and he chose the way of suffering and death on a cross. Yet aren't we glad that he did? The question is, what about us? Will our choices bring us more strength to overcome temptation and struggles? Will our choices bring us more usefulness in God's kingdom, fill us with more faith, more hope, and trust in God? What are we going to choose? Overcoming temptation is one of our challenges as God's people. And I don't think God ever intended that we do it all alone. What if God created the church to help us depend on one another, to be able to follow God's plan and purpose for our lives? After all, it takes a congregation to build a church. people who know and believe that God's power is real, that God's love is real, and that God's kingdom already exists here in our midst. So today, each of us have another opportunity to choose to be part of God's kingdom or to keep looking for other ways to achieve fame and fortune or success. But we are called to live by different standard of behavior, to have different ways of thinking and discerning and different ways of living together as God's people. We can resist temptation when we're connected to God and to one another, when we depend on God's word and one another, and we believe God's way is the best, the only way. The invitation is always open for those who want to become serious followers of Jesus, for those who might want to renew or rededicate their lives to following Jesus, and those who want to become part of our congregation. What is the purpose? What is our purpose as Trinity United Church of Christ? Who is God calling us to be and become? Who is God calling us to serve? Who are our neighbors? What is God's preferred future for Trinity? What does it look and feel like? What is our purpose? And all God's beloved people said together, amen. For every prayer time during Lent, we're going to sing with a recording and listen to the words and put ourselves in those places. This is a recording by Reverend Dr. Christopher Grundy, who is a professor at Eden Seminary in St. Louis. His song is called Leaning In, and is it up there? Yes, there it is.
We pray. the dying ones, knowing that some of us are dying. And we pray for the newly born ones, knowing that some of us are arriving. All our hearts and minds are leaning in with clear intention, joining in your way of loving the world. Amen.
What blessings, what joys, what gratitudes do you bring with you to worship today? No joys, no blessings, and
that was beautiful. Austin on video last night.
Yes.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. I want people to kind of get a taste. He's a little bit conservative, but that's okay. We can still appreciate his music. Doug's coming.
It's not real fast.
Not real fast. That's okay. My joy is that we have a lot of company coming in from Texas because of Don, my brother-in-law's death, which basically it was a blessing as well. He was so ill. So we're having a good time with family at this time.
It was a joy sharing with about 150 others at the Tri-State Creation Care. It was the seventh event that they held, and the topic was hearing the cry of the earth. And John Mundell informed the group of what the Catholic faith was doing in their aspects of the earth and environments. And so it made for a fun morning. And so I believe a lot of it was taped on and available online if you wanted to Google Creation Care.
And that happened in Evansville?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know about that organization. And I'm glad there's a lot of emphasis being put on, you know, the cry of the earth. Our earth knows it is not well. How about concerns or needs? Whom do we need to lift in prayer this morning? Certainly Marianne's family, as they are together yet still grieving the loss. What else? Anne?
The families that lost their loved ones last Saturday, the Sager, Gepner, and the Cruz families that died in that car wreck.
Oh. There were two families?
And Gepner's and a Cassidy, and they were all related.
Okay, all related.
Yeah, husband and wife and uncle and uncle's companion.
So basically four families, but one family. Any others? Now I want to invite you to take a deep breath. Know that God loves each of us and all of us together as God's church. Another deep breath to be thankful to God for all the ways God wants to be involved in our lives. And finally, a third breath to intentionally focus how to unite our hearts and our minds together as one people to go before God together. Most wonderful, almighty, yet holy God, we come here as your people, seeking to be reminded of your love for us, of your desire to bless us, and of all, to become aware of all the ways that you want to be active with us, both as individuals and here as a congregation. Lord, we want to be your faithful people who can provide a means and a way to enlarge your kingdom here on earth. Yet we know we need to focus on your word, on your ways, and on your desires, on your plan and purpose for our lives as individuals and for our life as a congregation. We're thankful, God, that you always do have a plan and a purpose, and that you will never leave us or forsake us. You will always be with us no matter what. So we're thankful. We want to follow your way and your will. We want to be faithful and obedient. And we want to provide, we want to attract people to want to be part of what you're doing in our midst. God, we also want to pray for others, some that we've mentioned by name, some that we have not. We want to pray for those who were all involved and those who love all of those who were involved in this tragic car wreck. We're all related. The impact, God, of so much death at one time can leave a family without hope unless you are there with them in their midst. Lord, we lift up Mary Ann's and her family as they gather together to enjoy being a family, and yet knowing this is a time of grief. It's a time of knowing, wanting to know what we do now, how we cope and manage. So we're thankful, God, for family and friends, for hope and for healing, and for ways to overcome temptation and doubt. We're so thankful, God, for people like Austin Glover, who want to lift our spirits and remind us of your goodness and your grace. So, Lord, we ask you to bless his ministry and prepare our hearts and minds to receive his message in a few short weeks. God, we're so thankful for all the ways you provide for us. You want to give us strength and courage. You want to give us understanding and renewal. You want to transform us as individuals and as a congregation to be an example, to reach out and show others how much you love and want to bless all of us together. And as always, God, we're thankful for the privilege and the power of prayer, for the promise that you not only hear our prayers, you've already begun to respond. Because we do. We pray all of our prayers, whether they've been spoken aloud or uttered from our silent yet earnest hearts, through the power of your Holy Spirit, and the blessed name of Jesus, your Son, and our Lord. For he is the one who taught us to pray together in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, we have a lot of choices when it comes to how we spend our financial resources. course, we all have basic needs, you know, food, shelter, clothing, shoes, warmth, gasoline, electricity, entertainment. So it can be a challenge for some of us to share our financial resources with God and God's church. Yet once the decision has been made about how we're doing it, then the question arises, how much do we share? Which causes, supported by God's church, should we give to? How do we know our decisions can make a difference in the lives of those who receive our gifts? But in the end, perhaps it's not so much the amount we share as it is our decision to want to be something bigger than ourselves. I want to be part of supporting and building God's kingdom on earth, part of bringing heaven to earth and experiencing God's presence in all we think, say, and do. Let's pray our prayer of dedication of our offerings together. God of the wilderness, we bring our offerings with gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We offer these tithes in faith, trusting you will provide for our needs. We give these offerings in hope, knowing you can use them to spread your love in the world. And with these offerings, we give ourselves. Help us live with generous hearts and open hands. Through Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. Let's sing together our song to send us forth from this place. Be Now My Vision, number 451. Be now my vision, O God of my heart. Nothing surpasses the love you impart. You, my best thought, by day or by night. Waking and sleeping, your presence, my light. Be now my wisdom, be my true word. Ever within me, my soul is assured. Mother and Father, you are both to me. Now and forever, your child I will be. Riches I heed not, nor life's empty praise. You my inheritance now and always. You and you only, first in my heart. Great God, my treasure, may we never part. Let us join together in our blessing of going forth. Let us go forth now from this sanctuary, from this haven of rest that God has provided for us.
You might want to look on the top. You're saying something different.
Okay. I see that. Let us go forth to be the people of God, empowered to resist all temptations that can lead us to destruction. Let us go forth as Christ followers, empowered to resist all temptations that can lead us